Okay, let me ask this.
Those were in order.
Part of some, is this a combination of public comment? Okay,
yeah,
one. Okay, but they're in order. How many just from the Monterey group? Because that's what I want to find
first,
out.
First five or something.
The first five. So have all, has the Monterey group decided that you're going to break this up into five presentations? Is that how you wanted to do this? Okay. Is there a spokesperson for the entire group? Okay. All right. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to see and hear?
Sure.
And if you could identify yourself.
Do you want me to sit here? Or do you want to?
What would you do?
Can you?
Yeah.
My name's Elizabeth Kraft, okay. And I am a employee of the Monterey County Water Resources Agency, and I'm here today as the representative for the County of Monterey, as well as the chair of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Pollution Group. And I have a few slides to go through today, and Ryan's covered a lot of them, so I'll try not to be too repetitive. I want to talk about the history of our stormwater management plan, the development of the BMPs and the measurable goals, our submittals to the regional board, and then speak about some concerns we have. Work started in 2001. We've had regular monthly meetings. Currently, our participation in the joint permit are the cities of Pacific Grove, Monterey, Seaside, Sand City, Delray Oaks, Marina, and the County of Monterey for the urbanized areas. We have other participating entities, including Carmel, Pebble Beach, and some school districts. We've developed our plan with input from a lot of different people, representatives of the member entities, the participating entities, other phase two cities, regional boards, state board staff, consultants that do this thing for a living, the Monterey Bay Natural Marine Sanctuary staff are regular attendees at our meetings, as well as members of the public. We started with EPA's menu of BMPs. It's a whole laundry list of BMPs that are broken out into about 109 topics. We divided those out. We established subcommittees to weed them down to something more manageable. We then chose the BMPs that were most effective, and the way we did that was we were building upon existing programs such as street sweeping, storm drain maintenance, permitting processes, and inspection procedures. We also recognized efforts that were already ongoing in the region, so we wouldn't be duplicating effort. Two of the specific ones are a household hazardous waste program that's operated regionally and volunteer monitoring programs that have been very successfully done by the Marine Sanctuary. We've recognized the recreational activities of the area and the environmental importance of the sanctuary. We screened out BMPs that weren't geographically or demographically applicable and chose ones that were more applicable to our region. We used data from some of that volunteer monitoring to choose our BMPs. We drew up on numerous sources to develop the scope and intent of those BMPs. We looked at the MURP, the Model Urban Runoff Program. The City of Monterey was instrumental in developing that program, so we leaned heavily on their participation in this group and on the MURP. We looked at the CASCA handbooks and other stormwater management plans from Phase 2 cities. And we prepared language that defines the scope and the intent of each BMP. So then we moved on to measurable goals. We looked at the 700-odd measurable goals and parameters that EPA suggests. And we refined those to align them with our selected BMPs. And we also chose them to be able to determine compliance, to make it easy to see if we've met or not met our measurable goal. We've submitted 5 drafts of this to regional board staff, started in 2003 in February. Staff had comments, we resubmitted it. We revised it majorly over the course of 2003-2004 in response to public comments. The fourth draft we submitted in December of 2004, and then we submitted again in this past October. They've been posted to the regional board or the state board website twice. We received letters of support for approval from AMBAG, the Sanctuary, and other entities around the Bay, and we've also received some unfavorable comments. Since the May 2005 hearing, we've made significant changes to the stormwater management plan. We've prepared the documents, the ordinances, the procedures, the checklists, the policies that we had listed to be developed in May of 2005, and we've included those in the plan. The plan now is based on implementing those BMPs and those things that were developed. We've added BMPs to provide more detail and definition to the program scope. What do we think makes a good management plan is that it's been developed by a cross-section of locally knowledgeable people, and it's specifically geared to our stormwater issues in the Monterey Bay area. And it coordinates the BMPs with locally ongoing programs such as First Flush and Urban Watch. The public comments that have been addressed, we addressed the NRDC comments as described in a report that we sent to the board. We received NRDC's white paper, as you've been calling it, the last week of October, I believe, and our deadline for submission of our revisions to your staff was October 31st. So we had less than 2 weeks to try and incorporate anything that was in that document into our revised stormwater management plan. Your staff's assessment confirms that we meet MEP, and we have local support in the area for our management plan. Now, some of our concerns, and most of it can be summed up in the ASBS area. In the 2005 hearing, board stated that the ASBS and the stormwater management plan were going to be treated separately. We've been working with the board staff here since at least 2003, and in the February 6th report for this item was the first indication we had that the ASBS issue had been integrated into the stormwater management plan. And so what we would like to see is that the ASBS and the stormwater management plan issues keep separate. The findings of fact in the staff report 15, 16, 17, 18, and 21 be deleted. And add the following language to those findings that says the State Board is currently in the process of reviewing the regulatory approach concerning the ASBS. And in recognition of that, the plan will not include further reference to the ASBS beyond the application of attachment 4 BMPs in the specific cities of Monterey and Pacific Grove watersheds that discharge into the ASBS. And to follow on, I think Mr. Muir with the City of Monterey has some additional comments.
Ms. Kraft,
sure.
Would you mind backing up to the slide with your specific recommendations as far as the findings, please?
Certainly.
The previous one? Okay. Hang on a second here. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
I just have a quick question, maybe,
sure.
of staff or from Mr. Beckman. The comments in your proposal, do they address the permit as of May 2005 or with the changes that the Monterey Group added to the May 2005 version?
Mr. Chairman, our report addresses the May draft, which was the only one available at the time, but our letter addresses the version that is now before you with the limited exceptions of the things that your staff mentioned today as being add-ons, because those hadn't been added. So we have addressed both the draft that was before you before and the one that's before you now.
Okay.
And we'll be addressing that verbally during our
okay.
testimony.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Chair, board members, Fred Muir, City Manager of Monterey. I would, before I go to the specific slides, it'll just take a moment, I would like to address one of the major points that the representative from the EPA made. I know some of you have been involved in local government, and you have an appreciation of the local government financial realities that weren't indicated in her comments. And something that I hope you as a board at the state level take on to assist the municipalities with, because this really is not a reluctance on the part of the communities to do whatever is absolutely possible. It's how do we do it within the realities of our financial scheme. Proposition 218 passed by the voters did not include stormwater as a utility. As a result, you have to go to an election of the people to raise stormwater fees because they're considered stormwater taxes. City of Salinas just happened to be the test case for that. So that has been our major stumbling block, the whole anti-tax, anti-fee that has been sweeping over the state of California and has really put cities and counties up against the wall financially. Is the struggle we're at. So please don't misunderstand our frustration in terms of at times we see things that we might really like to do, but we really don't have the resources to do it. We're a relatively affluent city as compared to some. I'm coming off laying off or removing 6 police officer positions, 2 firefighter positions, a total of 56 personnel because of my budget realities. So the stormwater is competing with those other things that the community expects. So that's the calculus that we struggle with, not necessarily the individual cost of an individual measure, but how much can we set aside to do this? Now, in my own program, I'm spending about $1.6 million a year just on direct stormwater. Now, that's not counting what I spend on sewer, I&I, and some of the other things that are indirect, my time that has been involved in this stuff. So we're putting a substantial amount of money into the program, and we are a relatively small city geographically. Population-wise, we're smaller than Marina and Seaside now, I believe. So that's the struggle that we go with, and we really need your help convincing the legislature that the law must be changed so that the funds necessary to implement what we would all like to do are available to counties and cities to pay for it, and not at the expense of the libraries that have suffered here in Salinas, the other public safety things. I mean, the sheriff's department in this county has one guy on duty on the Big Sur coast. They've got more people looking at stormwater than they do in the sheriff's department on the Big Sur coast at any one time of day. So it's that relative a balance in terms of resources that we struggle with. So any assistance you can give, we would very much appreciate. Now to the permit itself. Next slide, please. I would just like to ask that you also encourage the state board to complete their decision-making and their rulemaking on ASBS. We need to know what the rules of the game are. We are struggling with that because we do not have rules. There's been 2 workshops. Mr. Segundi promised that, you know, those workshops where we all, same cast of characters were there, are here today. We all had things to say, but we really look forward to the rule set being made according to the law, so we know what we need to do and have to do and can allocate the additional resources to meet those requirements. Next slide, please. That is why in the tail end of the last presentation you saw the reference to the findings. We would like to see those findings taken out just to avoid further confusion until the state board makes their rules. Next slide, please. As you probably know, right now we're told to either cease discharge. Well, I sit on a rock. The water comes together very, very rapidly. We were hard-pressed to find enough room between the ocean and the built-up area to get a regional sewer line to collect the sewer for the region. That line right now is stressed with I&I during peak flows. So where would we put that water if we ceased it flowing into the bay? So that's what we struggle with, because that's the easiest way to do it, just get rid of it, although there will be environmental costs to the marine environment if you lose that freshwater contribution. Physically, right now, it's somewhat illogical. We don't know what the other options are as we struggle with both the state board's actions on ASBS and the actions that you have underway right now. Next slide, please. Requiring attachment 4. Attachment 4 is for high growth areas and for phase 1. Adding attachment 4 for ASBS areas probably makes good sense as an interim measure. Next slide, please. In our particular case, we would ask that the finding be changed so that for the city of Monterey, that the attachment 4 requirements only be attached to the 80 or 90 acres or so that go into the ASBS. The rest of our drains don't. They're no different than the other drains along the bay. So we would ask that you eliminate the findings that were specified in the last presentation and add a finding that acknowledges that the state board is in the process of reviewing the regulatory approach for ASBS. Obviously, when they get through with their rules, if more needs to be done other than attachment 4 for ASBS, obviously we'll be out there doing it. But we believe this would be a middle road that gives us, I'll call it, an interim way for ASBS drainage, but doesn't apply it in areas where it's not in the ASBS drainage. Next slide. Any questions?
So Monterey doesn't, the rest of Monterey doesn't apply for attachment 4 because it's not a high growth.
Correct, sir. I mean, we're built out. I mean, right. That goes back to sort of the BMPs. Our construction BMPs would be totally different than the city of Marina, who has a totally different geography. City of Marina can put their water in distilling basins. Ours is rushing right down to the bottom of that granite rock. We're pretty well built out. They're not built out. So there are differences. I have about 80 acres in upper New Monterey and 10 acres in lower New Monterey that actually drain into the City of Pacific Grove's system. I do not have any direct discharges into the ASBS. Those are in Pacific Grove, Carmel, and McCounty.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Okay. Thank you,
sir.
Next speaker.
Is this Mr. Costello?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm Jim Costello, mayor of the city of Pacific Grove, and I'm going to follow the cost of taking some of Monterey's water in our system. I'm going to second a lot of what they said. I must admit that their city manager was much more polite than I would be if I went on about the EPA telling us, oh, add a fee when we can't legally do that. So I'm glad that he addressed that. Basically, we're requesting the same thing. The ASBS findings 15 through 18 and 21 be removed from the resolution until the time that the state has developed clear guidelines there. We want to see that process complete. We have been proactive, we feel. We've been out in front. We've come up with innovative solutions. You all know we've completed phase one of our dry weather diversion project. We're planning phase two. We have some other assets that really help with this plan. When we addressed grease in our restaurants and residences, we put together an education program that can be implemented instantly to deal with some of these issues as far as the education component. We are committed to working with everyone on long-term solutions. Our ASBS policy statement was commended by many environmental groups. We're not hiding from our responsibility. We want to do it. But we want a little leeway until the state has implemented their policies. Thank you.
I have a question. Regarding the fee issue, is there anything that prevents the cities from charging development fees to cover some of these costs or business license fees?
We have development. We're built out.
Okay.
And then some.
And are there business license fees, like for restaurants and automotive facilities?
There are business license fees, yes.
Okay. Anyone else from the Monterey Group going to address this? I guess not. Okay.
Mr. Chair, can I just make a comment
sure.
to the attorney's question about business license fees and the magnitude of dollars that we're talking about would probably run a lot of small businesses out of business paying those type of fees. I'm not the one to think that this board would want to do that, because we would be taking away the financial means that would provide the cities with the dollars that they're going to need to do this type of project. And I'm talking about not only business license fees, but also sales tax, which cities get. And as you have businesses, they generate additional dollars by the products that they sell or the type of services that they sell. So I would be careful, just warn my board members, that don't look at business license fees or other types of fees that would probably put a lot of small businesses out and probably drive any large businesses that we have in the area, possibly out of the area or even out of the state of California. I think we've had a lot of that in some areas already, that California has struggled with a loss of businesses moving to other states that are not as stringent in environmental issues or additional costs that they have incurred. I know cities are struggling with the financial things that they have to pay: libraries, police, fire, storm drains, sewage, all those things that build up cities. I think what they're asking for is they're not shucking their responsibility of this type of stormwater permit, but what they're asking for is some way that we can maybe phase this in, that they have more time to gather the money, because I can tell you, because I handled the city of Salinas, I was the chair of this board at that particular time, and the city said they were going to put the additional fees on, and I know this city engineer is here today, and consequently they were sued, and that fee was reversed. So I think what the city manager of Monterey was referring to, it's not easy to pass because you have to have at least 66 2/3% to pass something like that. So the only other way that the cities can possibly do this is to accumulate dollars over a period of time. Maybe there can be some adjustments on fees. Some of the cities in the Monterey Peninsula are already built out. Some of the cities like Seaside and Marina and Sand City and some of those others have room for development. But they also are facing a water moratorium in that particular area, so that kind of prohibits them from doing any development anyway, even if they had the facilities to develop. So I just wanted to kind of bring these things in play to the rest of my colleagues on this board, that just don't think that, oh, you can wave a magic wand and those dollars are automatically there for all the cities to be able to apply. But, you know, I will take the mayor of Pacific Grove to task, is you haven't done very good with your sewage collection and the replacement of your pipes. So, yeah, you're doing some good things, but you could do better. So, you know, there's kind of an even ground here. But I just wanted to address Lori's comments of, yeah, there are fees that you can apply. You can put them to development. You can put them to a whole lot of things. But we don't want to drive those people out of our areas either. And I think that's all I'll comment on today.
Yeah,
at this point.
What I'd like to do is share what Santa Barbara did. And I don't know how, comparable that is to this region, but they went after the hotel bed tax, and with a local measure that passed overwhelmingly to increase that rate from, I think, 8% or from 8 to 10%. And that generated an additional $2 million a year dedicated just for creek, stream, and beach cleanup. That's an option. I mean, people tended to vote for that because it wasn't really coming out of their pocket. It was coming out of tourists coming into the area. And some people did complain that that's not fair to hit the tourist, but it did go through, and it has put forth, some dollars to be used in the city of Santa Barbara. Certainly a lot of people come up to Monterey Bay and to the city of Monterey and into Pacific Grove. And into Carmel. So that's a possible option. And, Mr. Jeffries, there's nothing we can really do on this board with encouraging them to do anything. That, how they fund these things is really obviously up to them.
Exactly.
And, I don't think any of us think that just increasing business license fees is going to solve anything, but maybe make things worse.
Well, TOT tax... some cities don't have the feasibility or the amount of hotels or motels to do that.
Yeah.
Monterey does, and Pacific Grove has a large amount, but the cities we're talking about, and if you include Castroville and Prunedale, they don't have any facilities at all, basically.
Right.
So, how are they going to do that? And they're in the county, so it makes it a little bit more difficult even there.
While we're talking about kind of cost issues, I have a question for Ms. Okun, and I was reading some of the recent appellate court cases that have come down, and then the Baker case was referenced. Baker, this is the Cal Supreme Court case that is referenced in the City of Rancho Cucamonga versus the Regional Board, and you'll have to kind of set me straight. I thought that cost was not really an issue if what the board was requiring was just under the federal regulations, but cost became an issue if the state was going beyond, the federal regs.
There's two different cost issues.
Okay.
One, the one you're talking about, is that the Porter Cologne Act says that in issuing permits, the board needs to consider costs. It doesn't say what conclusions it needs to draw after considering those costs, but it needs to consider costs. But to the extent that a permit is issued under the Clean Water Act, which this one is, you don't have to consider costs. But that applies, it applies here, but it's more of an issue in NPDES permits where you have a water quality objective, you have an effluent limit, and the Federal Clean Water Act says it doesn't matter how much it costs to meet the effluent limit. And so the boards don't have to consider costs for those type of permits. So under that provision, 13241 of the Water Code, because this is a permit that is no more stringent than is required by federal law, the board doesn't have to consider costs. There's a separate issue in that one of the components of MEP is cost. So to determine whether or not the MEP standard is complied with, you do have to consider costs if that's a justification for not including particular BMPs.
So how do we really even scratch the surface of that issue if we don't have the analysis to consider? I mean, staff has kind of accepted at face value what has been given to them by the discharger, and we don't get into the discharger's budget, we don't look at how they're spending their money, we don't really do a thorough analysis of that. I mean, that's what Dr. Press was bringing up, and I think it's a good point.
Well, I was hoping to see more of that in the discharger's presentation,
okay.
Actually. If the staff's conclusion is that the suite of BMPs is adequate and there isn't anything that was rejected because it was too expensive, then it's not really an issue. If certain BMPs were rejected because they're duplicative of other BMPs that are in the swamp or because they're not appropriate for this area, those would be the two reasons, then it doesn't matter if they're expensive or not expensive because you don't need to do them anyway. But if there are BMPs that are rejected solely because the cities are saying that they're impracticable because they're too expensive, then I think the cities need to justify why they rejected those BMPs and on what cost basis.
Okay. All right, why don't we hear from NRDC?
Well, before that, can I ask another question?
Of course.
Actually, first a follow-up, and it would seem to me that on some of the issues like where we're not talking about a BMP, yes or no, but we're talking about the level of a BMP, such as the frequency of a restaurant inspection or something like that, then I don't know how else a reduced frequency could be justified other than by cost or staffing, availability, person power. So it seems like on a lot of these they are based on an overall cost, based on the cumulative cost of all those BMPs. Just an add-on statement. And I had a question for Mr. Muir. Hi.
Yes, sir.
You recommended a change in the in our recommended resolution for the board regarding the ASBS applicability. Basically, the portion of your city with the watershed that drains to the ASBS by way of Pacific Grove versus the part of the city that doesn't.
Correct.
And two things having to do with that. First, I believe it is correct to say that if a discharge is near an ASBS and has the potential to affect the ASBS, then that's a consideration. And secondly, probably more importantly, it sounded like your main concern was the applicability of Attachment 4. Is that right?
Right. In terms of, you know, obviously you're in the business of exercising lots of discretion in all of these things. Right now, close enough to might are really not terms that I can define. If, in fact, the state board defines them, is it a stone's throw or is it two stones throw before it might? And
you mean affect the ASBS?
Right. In other words, how far away do you have to be from the ASBS? I mean, when I look at the volume, I'm talking about 3 acre feet of water that's going into 3 to 4 acre feet per year of water that's going into the ASBS, as opposed to what is coming out of the Carmel River or what is coming out of the Salinas River. I mean, my little volumes get overwhelmed. So that was why I was just trying to stick with the definition. The definition was going into ASBS. I was just trying to clarify that we've got one part of our drainage that goes into the ASBS. There's other parts that don't.
But as far as you're wanting to have that stricken, is your main concern or only concern Attachment 4 applicability for those areas, or are there other reasons?
Oh, it was just the application of Attachment 4 in terms of your own definitions.
Okay. And being as how that's the case, which is what I understood, don't you think that the implications of Attachment 4 for a city that's built out, as you described it, are less significant than for an area where there's a lot of building?
Yes, sir. Attachment 4 is focused primarily on rapidly growing cities. I'm not. I was just trying to clarify. There's a definition. It's one of the few places where there is a definition.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just saying to apply the definition, it ought to be limited to a certain portion of our drainage rather than all of our drains. I was just trying to make that difference. I mean, what we really look for, we really believe that and hope that ultimately the ASBS solutions that the state board comes up with will give us BMP-type solutions as part of this plan is the right answer. That's where the state board was going.
Right.
and then backed away from that. So there's just so many levels of confusion on definitions. I mean, I have a letter telling me all these tests I'm to take for data to deliver in May 31st. But all I'm going to end up with is random data. So that was why I wanted to focus in.
Right.
What is measurable? What is within the definitions? And apply it there.
Right, but what the State Board does with the ASBS isn't before us, and I don't think how we determine the best management practices or the applicability of Attachment 4 will really have any bearing on how the State Board deals with the ASBS. So since Attachment 4 is really steering towards low impact development to try to reduce the amount of runoff from those areas that are developed or redeveloped, and your own plan spells out the tremendous impact that pervious surfaces have, both from the standpoint of the quality of the effluent that comes off, that it's typically the quality is reduced because of the contaminants that are picked up from those pervious surfaces, and from the standpoint of the volume of runoff that comes off. I mean, your plan recognizes that, which is good. So if you were required to, for those areas that are subject to redevelopment, to apply Attachment 4, wouldn't that be consistent with your plan?
Well, my redevelopment, I'm done. I mean, I am essentially built out. I've got a lot here and a lot
there.
That's
why I'm referring to redevelopment as opposed to new development. Aren't you gonna have some areas that are subject to redevelopment over the next decades?
We have a redevelopment area on Cannery Row that expires in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
There is a project that is about to go, but that's within the Attachment 4 area.
Mm-hmm.
That we're talking about. The rest of the city, I mean, it's not like some cities where you're going to go in and bulldoze and start all over again. Our redevelopment areas are, we're building a few buildings, but it's not like Fort Ord where you are just essentially starting over again. So
okay, so that means further reduces the impact of Attachment 4 then in terms of its importance, I guess.
I was arguing, my argument or my concern is I like the dealing with the ASBS through the best management practice process. That makes sense to me. I was just trying to say back your definitions. Your definitions were high growth area,
mm-hmm.
we're not, or draining into the ASBS, we're not, except in a small area. So that's all I was trying to clarify.
Okay.
There's another thing, too, with Attachment 4. There's two parts to Attachment 4. There's the design standards for new or redevelopment, but there's also receiving water limits in Attachment 4. And what that provides is that where the stormwater system is causing or contributing to an exceedance of water quality objectives, the discharger has to go through an iterative process of more and more stringent BMPs. And that standard is more stringent than what would apply absent that part of Attachment 4. So it does require more stringent BMPs in order to protect the ASBS.
Which makes sense when it's going into the ASBS. I mean, I'm not arguing with, I think it's a great idea.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, we need to use that old technology overhead machine. Do you think we could take a minute or two? Would it be acceptable while we set that up? Maybe you'd even like a quick
take
break.
Take a break for 5 minutes. Will that give you time to set up?
Thanks very much. Oh, it's not that?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I thought it was that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying it should apply to the areas that discharge directly into the ASBS. So fine. I think that's what staff intended anyway.
In fact, it's
I was trying to expand Attachment 4.
No, thank you.
Well, I think it does apply to redevelopment. The design standards.
It does apply to what?
Well, after the first day.
Thank you.
Off for a sec so we can
get this
thing tuned.
All right,
I got it.
Okay, now
so this one's on, this one's off.
Right, so the regular light switch is right over there. Yeah, but that'll turn them all off or all on.
But I tried that one and it didn't work.
I think I'm just going to talk. I'm going to do this informally, and I'm going to just ask. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You can sit over here.
Okay.
Yeah, let's try something here. It's okay.
Okay.
I'll ask you. I think he's a. He's admitted.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got. Well, Paul, you got until next time you see Paul, ask him. Tell him.